Good afternoon.
And welcome to Why Is This a Thing? September Lovin' is what we're calling it. And it's a month of musicals, and it's Why Is This a Thing? It's the name of the podcast, and that's Nick, and that's Adam, and I'm Nico, and we're your hosts.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you did all that backwards.
I think so, yeah.
And Nick, you're getting married.
That is true.
When are you getting married? Today?
Yes.
Oh, it's
right now.
Right now? Wow. That's incredible.
Today is Wednesday. You don't look like it. 2 days from that? Yeah, you don't look like it. Certainly not. 2 days from now?
Yes. By the time I return, I will be a wedded man.
Wow. You'll be Mr. Brown.
Correct.
Yes. That's it. They're doing it that way.
I'm taking her last name.
They're the hip
I'm actually
couple.
Taking her first name. It's going to be Michaela from now on.
Michaela Evangelista. Michaela.
That's pretty good. Oh, that's pretty good.
You just take each other's first names? That'll really confuse things.
That is incredibly
confusing.
You
take the same first name and the same last name. You do one from each. So you have the same name going forward.
We're just like a symbiote. We're the same person.
I hate that. Don't do that.
So I've heard of people that like change both of their last names and they pick just another random name. Just out of the blue. And
that's
so,
an interesting one.
You know what I'm saying?
I've been seeing a lot of hyphenated names now. So a friend of mine just got married. Her name was Nicole Nadeau, but now she's doing Nicole Nadeau Aaliyah.
Yes.
Which is cool. I like the name Aaliyah, by the way, Nick. No comment.
Okay.
Don't worry about
for
it.
For a first or a last?
I'm referencing Dune, by the way.
Yeah.
But regardless. But yeah, Aaliyah.
See, here I am thinking we're having a serious conversation about baby names, and I was going to give you some input just in case you guys ever ran into that situation one day.
I personally like Muad'Dib.
You're going to name the kid Muad'Dib? Yeah. Yeah, I might go. Wait, hey.
I just want this fucking movie to be out already. Just enough.
Can I get Muad'Dib? Why do you get Muad'Dib? I want Muad'Dib.
For
you
what?
Like,
for your imaginary children you're never going to have? For what?
Quiet,
what name?
Quiet. I'm not listening to you right now.
You know what's a great middle name?
What?
Hyphen.
Howard Greenfung. Greenfung? Like hyphenated? No, just Greenfung.
Hyphen. Hyphen is not bad. Hyphen Jones.
That's terrible.
My name's Bobby -- Jones. Double -- Jones.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Hyphen.
How do you spell it? It's just a line. It's just a little... It's pronounced hyphen.
It's pronounced. Yep, you beat me to it. It's pronounced hyphen.
Did I tell you guys I really wanted to name my cat the cat formerly known as Prince? I wanted to name it that so bad.
Did you know that Jimmy's cat is actually named Cat?
Yes, I did know
that. I did not know this.
Yeah.
Jimmy's telling me about his cat. He goes, yeah, here's what Cat did. And I'm like, oh, what's the cat's name? He goes, Cat.
Cat.
What?
Well, it was his grandfather's cat. And he just the grandfather just
neglected to name
it. Right. That's your go-to is Prince?
No, the cat formerly known as Prince.
Oh.
And I wanted to spell it with the Prince symbol.
I thought you would have gone with Juice so you couldn't capitalize on the juice is loose for your cat. That'd be so easy.
Escapes.
It's perfect.
I can't name my cat after a murderer.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
You can't do that.
Cats.
By the way, I've been like...
My cat's name is Charles Manson, so...
Maybe next one I'll name Juice. By the way, I've been like following OJ's like Twitter and I watch every single one of his videos he puts
out. Of course you have.
Every single one, I watch the entire 2 minutes.
Nico, I'm not even remotely surprised.
I watch every single one and I find out what he has to say about like the current state of like Afghanistan or whatever. But I've also been like following his fantasy football advice to a T. And we'll see how it goes. That's my new strategy because OJ, in between like giving his opinion on Afghanistan and the situation in the Middle East and like talking about race relations in the nation, he like obsessively talks about his fantasy football team, which begs the question, like, who is in a fantasy football league with OJ Simpson?
Well, you would be.
Of course I would be, but
okay,
I didn't know
so
there were nine other people that would be. You know what I'm saying?
Only nine other people? That seems shockingly low.
But someone's in a league with O.J. Simpson, and they draft every year, and he's out there on Twitter just spitting advice. It's got lots of good tidbits on there. I'd recommend it for the novice fantasy player.
I mean, I'm sure he knows what he's talking about.
See what the juice has to say.
Is Nico going to wind up dead at the end of this?
The Jews!
Are we going to find Nico murdered?
Oh, maybe. The Jews. The Jews definitely killed two people. Definitely should be in prison running away.
But of course instead, he did.
But instead, I get to watch his Twitter videos. And, you know, I think I'd take the trade-off. Musicals. We're talking musicals.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, not really.
As per usual, our theme falls apart immediately.
Yep. Yeah. It's not the most far off we've ever gone to our credit, but we failed slightly. You know, this is, I wouldn't call this a passing grade in terms of a musical.
I mean, it's enough of a musical, and it in fact spawned a musical, a very highly successful musical. It's actually coming to Cincinnati, I think, pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's already practically sold out. It's, you know,
I don't think
popular.
We were out of line to say that we thought Hairspray was a musical.
No,
because it is now. I mean, it won Best Musical at the Tonys back in 2002, 2003, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think it became a musical, is kind of what happened, right?
Yes, it did.
Precisely,
yes,
right. Yeah. It became a Broadway musical. The Broadway musical was very well received. So they made a remake of this movie in 2007 with John Travolta.
But the remake was a musical.
Is it a remake, though? Or is it an adaptation of the musical?
Right. It is yes. It's an adaptation of the Broadway musical of something that was based on a.
Because
like Repo the Genetic Opera.
Well, so this was a movie. They adapted the movie to a musical, and then they adapted the musical back to a movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Basically, you took like the original Hairspray movie that we watched today, and you shoved it inside of like a sausage machine, and just fucking blended it out two times.
Yes.
And what's left over is the John Travolta sausage.
To their credit, good luck doing a remake of this this one today.
Right, good point. Yes.
No fucking way that's happening.
I have not seen the other one. Maybe we should do the other one because it's an actual musical. Maybe we should do that.
I think we should eventually.
Okay.
Didn't we have something else planned, though? What were we going to do?
We might have. Yeah. So, yes, John Travolta plays the divine role in that movie. Queen Latifah plays the Motormouth Mabel role. And then you got Walken as the father, as the Jerry Stiller role. You got Michelle Pfeiffer as the Debbie Harry role. You got Amanda Bynes as Penny Pingleton in peak Amanda Bynes times.
Yep.
James Marsden as Corny Collins. Seems a little young at the time, but yeah, James Marsden there. Zac Efron is Link Larkin, the boyfriend.
That works for me.
Allison Janney is the mom of Pingleton.
Oh.
The racist mom that's running around the hood and like terrified. Jerry Stiller returns as a different role.
Really?
Oh. Why? Okay.
As does John Waters. Yeah, it's a stacked cast.
Well, of course John Waters is going to be in it.
Didn't it do okay?
It did do well. It did well critically. I'm seeing 81 on Metacritic on the IMDb. Okay, I mean, it made $200 million worldwide. I'd call that a hit.
Sure.
Yeah, cost $75 million, but made $200 million. Okay. Was a popular movie, did well. And yeah, I think now is known as a beloved musical, but I think very few people know that originally it wasn't, clearly, and also very few people know the man responsible for the original and what his reputation was going into it.
Well, I had been
people
built
really
up.
Have no idea. How bad John Waters is.
I had been built up on the belief that this was a musical and that it was a very like PG, nice, friendly movie and everything. And I guess relative to John Waters, it is. I was not expecting a live action South Park episode.
A little bit, huh?
That's all I could think about the entire time.
Yeah, the language is kind of as mean as it can be while still being within PG bounds.
Mm.
You know, like the word retard is thrown around quite a bit.
It is, yep.
The word whore and slut, they're both thrown around quite a bit. You know, fatso is slung in the direction of our lead several times. So like it's very nasty kind of playground language. It's filthy playground language.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be weird to say, but I think this is the running theme. It was obviously a PG romp. I think it's a very delightful movie. I understand why people of all ages have grown to love it over the years. But it is kind of a John Waters movie.
It's very much a John Waters movie.
It's very much, yeah. And that's kind of the crazy thing about it. It's the first PG John Waters film, but you really don't need that much smut to be a John Waters movie, it turns out.
I guess not. I don't know what you call that attitude. Like, there's something about his sense of humor that's very distinct.
There's a nastiness to it.
It's nastiness, nasty. But there's also a cuteness. I hate to say it, guys, but there is this weird cuteness.
This movie's cute.
To what John Waters does, even back then. I'm sorry. I know you guys don't want to admit it, but
there's explicitly not. No,
no,
you're
but
wrong.
The humor that is prevalent in Pink Flamingos is very much prevalent here. I'm just saying.
No,
I agree
with
that.
It absolutely is.
I agree with that. I do.
There's something to the writing of the characters and how up here they are.
All the alliteration.
Yep.
She's a hair hopper.
Yep.
You're permanently positively punished. I mean, that's like just classic Waters. That's such Waters screenwriting.
Yep. Yeah. And just the other thing that's very prevalent from his older movies to now is that I have no idea who to root for.
Right.
Because everybody sucks. Everybody sucks in this movie.
Kinda. I don't know.
I don't know if that's really true. I don't know. Guys,
fuck Tracy Turnblad.
No.
She's not bad.
Wholeheartedly.
No, she's awful. And I think that's the point.
I feel so opposite about
no,
that.
No, I think it's the point.
What's the point?
I think the idea is that you're not necessarily supposed to root for these people. It's like the losers can be just as bad as the winners. I think that's very much
what does she do bad? That's bad.
She fights for like integration.
She also like rubs it in everyone's face like an asshole.
That what? That she
that
won
she
the...
wins and that she's the best and that these
no,
people deserve to get kicked into
no.
the dirt.
Yes, because one like believes that black people should drink out of this different water fountain.
The mother believes that
the whole thing.
No, the mother believes that for sure, which is why she gets a bomb on the top of her head. That makes sense.
She's
to
a domestic terrorist.
Yes,
yeah. as a result
the,
of this
the
beauty
daughter
pageant.
Just wants to be successful and she gets
no.
her, she
no,
gets
the
her
daughter
boyfriend
wants
stolen
power
from her
and like she's a power hungry bitch too.
She's also like abused by her parents.
Okay.
This is very obviously
yes.
like this. No, this is fucking black and white though. It's not
oh
like
my
that's
God.
The thing about
moral
John Waters
ambiguity
is,
here.
I'm not having
there's
this
no
conversation.
No, but I don't know how you can say that.
Oh,
when one side is clearly like overtly racist and like
it's
like flying
it is
Confederate
overtly
flags
racist.
And like and you know calling the fat girl a fatso yeah. and the other one is like a family that believes in like inclusion and shit. Like I don't know this it's clearly like pretty black and white morals.
You didn't think the way they presented it was meant to be like deliberately annoying?
No.
Oh my God,
it's
I
John
so disagree.
Waters, all of his movies are annoying.
No, but even the heroes.
I have a note here specifically that I wrote like Tracy and the actress who played her, Ricky Lake, is just like an inherently likable person.
Yeah.
I found her
fucking
inherently
hated her.
Absolutely.
She's such an asshole. She's like the worst winner imaginable.
I found her like completely endearing and likable the entire time. Like every time she faced adversity, she faced it with a smile. It was just like pure like how could you hate her? Nobody
God,
can
like,
hate her.
She's like Billy Mitchell in King of Kong. She's an asshole. She's a fucking asshole, guys. I'm sorry. I think that's the point.
I don't
think she's meant to be totally likable. I think John Waters is trying to make you say, guys, like I know they're righteous and what they stand for is all nice, but they're still fucking assholes.
More on King of Kong later this week.
Yes, we will.
Lots of thoughts on King.
By the way, much better villain. Don't worry.
But... okay, I just think what you're responding to is the fact that John Waters has an affinity for outsiders. And, you know, like, for example, the scene with the beatnik.
Yeah.
The two beatniks in this, like, that's such a fucking... like, John Waters clearly, like, knows people like that and has had nights like that.
But that's an interesting scene where clearly he has more affection for those people than Tracy Turnblad in that moment.
I see...
obviously it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, okay, maybe you find her annoying because you know people like Tracy Turnblad, because I certainly respond
yeah,
to that. It's like, I've met people like that, and they generally rub me the wrong way. But, no, I just think these are people that he has affection for, and he is just sort of willing to present it with scars and all.
I think that he just has this affinity for, like, viewing the world as a very ugly place, while
yes.
also loving the world at the same time.
Exactly,
that's kind
I agree
of,
with
that's
that,
kind of
sure.
his thing. So I don't
but
really
I think...
But
I think she's morally righteous, though. That's
yeah,
the only
I don't
point.
Think you're supposed to hate her. I think it's just, like, things are ugly. Even the good side can be ugly. But I don't
I
think
agree.
You're ever... there's ever a point where you're questioning, should I be rooting for her over the other
it's
people?
It's obviously the
it's
good
very,
side.
Right.
It's obvious. No, I agree with that, but I'm not convinced you're entirely supposed to be rooting for her, guys. She's pretty reprehensible, honestly.
How could you not
reprehensible?
Root for her?
She is a fucking
so kind.
She's not far off from Tracy, what's her name? Flick Pick from Election?
Tracy Flick.
She's pretty close to that.
Pick Flick.
which might have been a little bit of inspiration. I don't know.
Stop
but,
it.
But Jesus Christ, guys.
She's not.
Stop it. No, I completely agree with you that the point is like, yes, these are the people who are morally righteous. But like I said, just because they're morally righteous doesn't mean you need to root for them.
Yeah, but we root for the black people to be allowed into the dance club.
It's basically like, oh, these are the good guys. Like, okay, they're the good guys, but fuck me. I can't believe I'm stuck with these good guys. And that's a very John Waters thing to do. I mean, he's not, I mean, even when you're thinking of something like Multiple Maniacs, where the whole point is like, I mean, that came at a time where the hippie movement was quite strong and prominent. And you would think he'd be in love with the hippie movement, but he loved bullying them. He loved right. making fun of them. And even if he believed in what they stood for, it was still like, guys, like I can knock you over with like my middle finger. Just watch.
Yeah.
And he just found that.
There's a nastiness. I get it. There is a nastiness to all of his movies.
Picking on the people you like isn't the same thing as saying don't root for them. It's just not. It's just
that's not really what
not.
I'm getting.
But there's also no equivalent between the good guys and the bad guys. I think that's our other point too. You're like everybody's reprehensible. It's like I don't know. I mean, he clearly has a point of view on which guys are the good guys and which guys are the bad guys.
I also want to put this out there. Like, don't even try to make the case to me that this movie is similar to Pink Flamingos or Multiple Maniacs in that sort of way. It is fundamentally different.
The filmmaking's
like,
different.
You can tell it's John Waters.
Kind of, but not really.
You can tell there's some nastiness, sure, but...
No,
if you line up Hairspray next to the rest of the movies by him that we've watched, there is a very clear difference. There are similarities.
I can do it too.
I can do it pretty easily. I don't know.
I agree with Adam on this one. Okay, this one had a bigger budget.
Yeah.
So
there's a little more manner in the filmmaking. But I mean, that any film is more manner than Pink Flamingos.
I don't know. Divine's on a fucking leash, for one thing.
Yeah.
There were some POV shots, though. There were some, like, shaky cam.
The editing's great.
I kind of remember this from Multiple Maniacs. Like, there's some stuff in there.
No, sure. You can tell it's the same guy, but there's nobody fucking a chicken. You know what I mean? Like, this.
No, I agree with that.
This movie is fundamentally watchable.
So what?
Yes, it is. It is watchable.
It's so much. I enjoyed this movie.
I loved this movie.
I adore this. This movie was adorable.
I love this movie, but not for the same reasons you guys loved it, clearly. I loved it more of like, I thought I understood what John Waters was going for here. And I really don't think it's about nobility. I didn't see that at all, honestly. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I think the writing is the most prominent play. I mean, just the character names. Corny Collins is the name of the like Dick Clark stand-in. The constant use of alliteration, when he quotes Bob Dylan at the end, the times are changing, something's blowing in the wind. It's like, that's just like so fucking obvious on the nose.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is like a cuteness to it and also kind of like a wretchedness to it at the same time. And you do really feel like he pushed the boundaries of the PG rating. And that's kind of what I enjoyed about this. I think going into it, I was expecting, okay, John Waters is just like, taking a studio script and playing it safe and like seeing if he can challenge himself by, working within the confines of the system. And he did do that, but he did it his own way. And I think like that's what I appreciated about it more than anything is it felt like he was being true to his style. It's just that he was taking out just enough filth in order to get it down to a PG rating, And so that's what was sort of refreshing about it. The racial stuff, by the end of it, it gets a little heavy handed, but I thought for the most part, like it was pretty tactfully deployed in the first act. Like I think like the use of segregation, as a plot device and just showing that these characters were living other lives obviously becomes much more obvious by the end. But I felt for a while there, it's like, oh, this is a movie about a girl that wants to, make it on this like American Bandstand ripoff. But oh, there's some other stuff in there. There's like some texture to this city. Mm-hmm. Like we're learning something about the racial dynamics of Baltimore. And like, we're going to just hint at the fact that black people aren't allowed in, but we're not going to be explicit about it. So,
At first,
but for the most part, I thought that was like pretty salient social commentary for a guy that is not usually, subtle.
I wouldn't call this subtle,
but
he's certainly doing more here than he ever had before. I mean, what he was dealing with before were maybe more personal to him
This felt personal to him, though.
Not impersonal.
I feel like this is the movie that John Waters really wanted to make the whole time. Like, this is what... Here's the thing. I get the impression with his earlier works that he was being explicit for the sake of being explicit, for the sake of getting attention.
Yeah, that's
it wasn't,
that's not wrong.
But that wasn't, like, his true, like, artistic expression. I feel like this is a lot closer to, like, him actually putting his best foot forward.
Yeah, no, maybe. I agree with that.
This I think he's better subdued a little bit.
This was a script that he called White Lipstick. That was the original name for it. And it was loosely based on real events. Apparently, this was something that he actually experienced in Baltimore. The Corny Collins Show is based on the real-life Buddy Dean Show, a local dance program in Baltimore, which actually preempted Dick Clark's American Bandstand in the 1950s. So this it actually predates what everybody thought this was ripped off of. It was a very important thing for John Waters. He wrote about it in one of his books. It might be his only book that he wrote. He wrote very glowingly about this show. It really influenced him as a child. Kind of like, you know, how Quentin Tarantino talks about like TV Westerns.
Yeah.
And that was sort of his inspiration for making Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This sort of felt like the same thing here. It's like he wanted to recreate a show from his childhood that he adored. So, yeah, it does feel very personal. It feels like John Waters is trying to tap back into his childhood. And I don't imagine there was a lot of chicken fucking going on in his childhood. So I this is maybe not. More true to life. it does sort of feel like a glowing love letter of the city, a glowing love letter of the culture. And just like the type of movie that he would have enjoyed as a kid. You know,
I don't know. This is nonstop dancing the entire time.
The dance numbers are good though.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good.
Yeah, they're really good.
You know, a lot of like close-ups on butts. That was the other thing about this. It's kind of a horny movie at the same time of being like a family-friendly.
It's not the horniest movie I've ever seen.
No,
I don't think it was like overly egregious in that front. You know what I mean? Like, there's some movies you watch and you're like, oh my God, this movie's horny.
It's no Top Gun, but it's up there.
That was the Waters of it all, though, for me. It's sure. Like, I could tell, oh, this is that creepy fucker just lingering his camera on these asses, you know, like.
There's something about the characters, like when the mom is running through the predominantly black neighborhood and she's just freaking out because she's worried she's going to get mugged.
Right. Every black person she sees, she's just like horrified. Like,
yeah. It's one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen.
That was hilarious.
By God, though, when she goes to the cop car, and I know the joke that's coming, but I'm just like, please just do it. Please do it. And then the officer's black, too, and right. She doesn't know what to do. Just the look of horror on her face at that idea. Oh my God, it was funny.
It's a great sequence.
That is a wonderful scene.
And so Alice and Janney plays that role. I wonder if they do that scene in the new one, because Alice and Janney doing that would be tremendous.
I would hope so.
That would be great.
It's so good.
I don't know if that got left out or not. I mean, a lot of the stuff you can't really do now. It's kind of, you know.
But I don't know. This is what I keep going back to. That I think John Waters was a little more questionable of the heroes in this. When Tracy Turnblad says the line, "I want to be black," I really don't believe that John Waters has a lot of affinity for people like that. Certainly now he's
tough to say.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah. There's lots of that, you know, where it's like, well, okay.
Here's where I'll agree with you a little bit, too. It's like it's actually pretty unclear what Tracy's actual motivations and goals are, other than she likes to dance. Like,
well, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, even getting involved in like, I know why the other girl hates her. I understand why the other girl wants to be the auto show queen or whatever the fuck. But like Tracy's actual motivation for it all is just kind of like she just keeps stumbling into things and being like, I like this. Let's keep going. Like, that's all it is.
But you just stumbled upon kind of what my point is like, I don't fully understand the entire motivation of Tracy Turnblad, or if she just loves dancing, or the whole, you know, end segregation is something she really believes in, or if she's just doing it for the popularity and it's like, oh the self-righteousness. But to what you just said, I understand why the villain hates Tracy immediately.
Right.
And I don't even have to think about it. I'm just like, yeah, I get why you would hate her. And the fact that I understand her so quickly is I think, I don't know, evident to part of my point anyway. Well,
and here's where I divide with you is I'm not sure if I can fully take the stance that like John Waters intends for us to kind of dislike her or not root for her.
Maybe
or,
not.
Or
hate
if
her,
it's but... just or if it's just John Waters just going over the top like he always does about everything. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's a good question, yeah.
Because when she says, like, oh, I wish I were black or whatever, or when they say, like, you know, what's
my
the line?
Favorite
like,
line
our
in
souls
the movie.
Are black even though our skin is white.
That's the best.
Like, as much as, like, that stuff, like, should be reprehensible, this movie takes place in a John Waters over-the-top universe where everything is over the top.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he wrote it as reprehensible.
Right, so, like, I'm almost not sure if you're supposed to take it on face value or if you're supposed to just kind of, like, laugh at it and because this
I mean,
is
that's
a silly world where people put bombs in their hair.
Yes.
Right. You know?
That's the question.
That is a line that you could never put in a movie now. No. I don't, never. Put
that
in
was like a you've just been stuffed moment for me when I watched. I'm just like, I was like, in 2021 hearing that line, I basically fell off the chair laughing.
Right.
It was too good and so unbelievable. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, I wasn't prepared for the movie to be this, God damn it.
I gotta wonder though how that line played in 1988. Like, I wish I could have experienced that then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tough to say, man. The world of John Waters is a prickly place.
I mean, I would recommend going to Baltimore, guys. It's a delightful place.
You're from there.
Yes.
Stop that, with the fucking.
We had to remember.
I did not. I thought of it. When they were talking about Baltimore, I'm like, God damn it, Adam. Shut the fuck up. Before he even started talking, we get it. You were born there.
Yes.
It's just a Baltimore native.
Say, I love my Baltimore. Baltimore. I'm going to Baltimore.
Home of Hairspray and The Wire. Two very different depictions of the ghetto.
Which is worse?
I don't know. Where a crazy white lady comes through wielding a knife, or
you get sent to Catholic school over there.
Yeah, they're running into Omar, running into Mrs. Pimple Pop or whatever her name is.
Oh my God.
Pinklebat. I don't know what her name is.
Pringleton.
Something like that.
I've seen the Eggman, guys. I've seen the Eggman.
You want to go? You want to run down this plot here, Nicholas?
I'll give it a go.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes, but. Tracy and, her friend, what's her friend's name?
Starts with a P. It's all
Penny?
Alliterative.
Penny.
There you go.
Penny Pringleton.
There you go.
Tracy Turnblatter. Is that what it is?
Something like that.
You know, they're high school girls in the '60s and they, are watching this TV program where basically other high school kids are featured dancing. They're all like very pretty or very handsome young people dancing to the black music is literally how they describe it. Like it's
colored music is actually
right,
the word they use. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. But you get my point.
Yes.
And obviously like all of the adults like think it's reprehensible, but like, oh, they're teenagers. They do their stupid teenager things, whatever. Tracy and Penny decide to basically go to some public event they're doing and kind of like try out essentially. And Tracy is a phenomenal dancer and also just again like instantly likable. Like I literally everybody just like immediately likes her. Even when they make fun of her initially, she handles the criticism so well that they just like they accept her and they invite her to be like in a board position within this group, I guess, like a committee position or something.
Yeah, she is kind of accepted radically fast.
Yes.
In a way that you don't expect of a character like that. Side note about the whole like American Bandstand angle, like you know, it got me thinking like everybody makes fun of DJ culture now of how like, you know, like 100,000 people will pack into a field and like watch Skrillex just like press play on a, you know, and they'll go like, and they'll do like, they'll all jump in sync and do like the fist pump. It's like, kids were dancing to DJs 60 years ago, 70 years ago. They were like, you know what I'm saying? They were just like Dick Clark just wore some fucking headphones like we're wearing right now and just like played some Chubby Checker. And that was like a hit television show. You know what I'm saying?
I think part of the reason it like, you know, like DJ culture today is more about dancing than it is about music.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know,
Dick Clark couldn't play fucking piano.
But it's different than going to like I'm just saying it's more about dancing than going to listen to like an actual band because you want to listen to their songs. It's more interactive, less performative, I guess.
Yeah, but what if like you go to like one of these things? What if you go to one of these like American Bandstand things and you start dancing?
Yeah, it's more about dance than it is about like the performative. I'm just saying that's why people might see a disconnect.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying DJ culture's been here for a while, that's all.
Now, oh yeah.
I personally think it's fucking stupid. But
sure.
You know, like those old people that are like, "Oh, music is so much worse nowadays."
No, it's not that. It's the idea that I'm going to go to a live event to watch a guy press play on a playlist.
Have you done that yet?
Yeah, sure. I find it very overrated. Like, I've been to like clubs and stuff where there's like DJs and shit. Yeah. And it's stupid.
Do you go to a club just to dance?
Sometimes.
Oh. What else?
I'm not much of a dancer. I'm not much of a dancer, so I'm not really into it.
No, I don't like go out with like tonight we're gonna dance like that Robin Williams.
We're gonna dance.
But like I'll go to occasionally.
That right.
No, I just find it very stupid that some like kid in his 20s that like is, you know, doing this part time just like sets a playlist and like presses play and then puts the headphones around his neck and like, you know, just pretends to work.
Yeah. Pretends to work.
You know, it's like, dude, you set this playlist last week. You recycled this at the last, you know, last five clubs you've been at.
Nico, have you ever been a DJ?
No.
Well,
not kidding you. One of my good friend's brothers is a DJ.
Yeah.
One of my very good. So I know his brother pretty well. I actually gave him his nickname because he was going by all this like hip shit. Mm. And I'm like, the name is DJ Press Play because that's all you do is you press play. So he's been using DJ Press Play.
He didn't understand the irony in it.
So he just,
he accepts the irony.
He accepts it. Oh, wow.
It's like, you're not fucking working. Stop pretending that you're working.
It's being a DJ is kind of like having a podcast.
Yeah. No, it's not. We're actually providing content. We're not just recycling. Well, maybe we are recycling other people's content.
Those DJs, I don't know what you're talking. We're watching movies.
At least we're providing commentary.
Okay.
People don't need the commentary. At least like DJs make people dance and bring people together and make them happy.
Assembling the playlist can be commentary on music.
I've heard, and I think this is total bullshit, but I've heard from DJs in the past that they come up with songs on the fly. So they read the attitude in the room. And they play to the room as if it's their instrument.
I think Elijah Wood does that. So
that's what most DJs will tell you. Okay.
I'm sure they have like preset plans, but I'm also sure just like a magician, they have multiple outs.
Okay.
You know,
let me set a playlist and let the DJ fucking play to the room. I guarantee you, you wouldn't know the difference. I guarantee it. In a blind test, you'd have no idea. You're going to feel the attitude in the ether. It's like, you know.
I would say 80% of the time, you're probably right.
I think these guys are in a Steely Dan mood.
But if the playlist goes in the wrong direction and it just keeps going in that direction, you know, you do need somebody there to like maybe potentially adjust.
I don't know. If you start playing Eclipse by Pink Floyd and then you followed up with Neon Meat Dream of an Octafish from Trout Mask Replica, I might be a little put off.
I would very much like to go to that club, though.
Me too.
Apparently, I've been going to the wrong clubs. Is there a club like that exists?
Oh, yeah, there is.
Is there?
There better be.
I need to find it. I've just heard the same fucking Chainsmokers songs for the last 10 years. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Just a thought. The DJs have always been here, and they've always been stupid. That's all I'm saying. Pick up a fucking guitar. You will never tell me. You will never be able to convince me that like a guy with like good audio software that's able to like, you know, remix like 90 songs is the same thing as a guy that can pick up a guitar and play. It just, come on.
I don't know though. There's plenty of musicians who play the same Green Day, right? I love Green Day, but they play the same three chords. Like,
fair point.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the same thing about Nirvana. So yeah,
that's true.
Even a lot of the Beatles, a lot of the Beatles is just like very simple. I don't know.
At least they're writing. At least they're, you know, at least they're putting pen to paper. At least they know how to play an instrument.
It's just a different art form.
I don't like the way you're attacking Paris Hilton right now. Yeah. I do not appreciate the way you're attacking Paris Hilton right now.
Oh,
beloved DJ.
Yeah, that's right.
Beloved DJ and performer Paris Hilton.
Okay, now I'm against DJing. I just realized. I don't know what made me think of it, Nick. Wow, it's incredible. I'm against DJing now.
Please stop attacking my hero.
Fuck Paris Hilton.
Highest paid DJ in the world.
She is.
Oh.
Okay, back to your thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so she's accepted into this TV dance troupe. And immediately, obviously, is like super beloved for there's kind of like this touch on like fat is beautiful movement. Mm-hmm. And she sees that this club is sort of being segregated. Like they only have what did they call it? It was like at the last Thursday of the month was the only night they allowed black people.
They called it Negro Night.
Negro Night. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the only time they allowed black people to actually come into the club.
See, I do wonder if all these words were in the new one. I don't know. We gotta
there's
watch that.
There's no way.
We gotta watch that. New
God,
one.
There's no. I would be utterly shocked if there was. All I know is that there's a line where Zac Efron says like "kiss my ass" or something. So
I mean,
I
here's
know,
the thing.
I know they get
mildly
offensive if that's.
I could see some of these phrases. I could see some of these phrases being adopted into the musical, and if they were in the musical for that long, I mean, it would be kind of crazy not to include them in the.
Also movie. Part of the DNA of this movie, though. It's like it is
right.
One of the most important aspects of what makes this movie what it is and sort of gives it its identity. So it'd be strange if it didn't at least address those issues. That being said, I don't know if they're going to be using the word Negro as often as this movie does.
I honestly think that without it, it's not as effective satire.
I agree completely.
You know, I think you have to kind of go that far in order to be that satirical.
But the question is the music trying to be satire in the way that this one is?
Right.
Probably not.
We have to watch it.
Probably not.
I think that's
I mean, one of my notes about this is that like this movie is it manages to be like super refreshingly like honest and blunt about yes. things while also maintaining an uplifting feel the whole time. So even though it's like telling you how like obviously awful the mm-hmm. state of Baltimore is for race relations at this time, yeah. like it still manages to be like a happy, uplifting film. The whole
Strangely,
time.
Yes. And I to Tracy Turblad's like credence, by the way, or whatever you want to call it. I do really like her at the beginning, like the moment where she just gets in there and is so confident with her dancing and basically controls the room just with a couple movements. I really love her then. It's just when she starts winning, it's like, oh. Oh, I don't
well,
like
that other
person.
Woman is such a bitch. Of course you want to beat her.
Every time they cut to her, it's another horrible thing happening to her. I don't blame her for being so pissed off.
I think he loves that character.
I kind of do.
He loves the villain.
I feel that there's a scene where she's just on this merry-go-round and she's having a grand old time. They stop the ride and she throws up. I don't know why that's in the movie. It serves no purpose other than to just like laugh at her. But like, yes, I feel a little bad for her.
Wow.
The movie.
He just loves the hot chick picking on the fat girl.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Just his type. Just his type.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
God.
I love also that every song is the same at this American Bandstand. I love gravy on my
like,
mashed potatoes. Every fucking song is the same.
It's just
so
generic like 50s music.
Right.
Yeah.
These weren't real songs, I don't think, right?
Oh, they were real songs. They must have been real songs.
I don't imagine that they wrote them for the movie, but.
I think they were real. Here's the thing. If they wrote them for the movie, it's more of a musical than isn't it?
Right. No, Gravy on My Mashed Potatoes is a real song.
Mm. Wow.
So
I think the mashed potatoes was a popular song with a real dance associated with it. And then afterwards they made Gravy to like, as like a follow up.
Ah, clever. So wait, the
original song is called Gravy and it's, sang by D.D. Sharp, 1962.
Wow.
The name of the album is It's Mashed Potato Time.
Mm.
It's the name of the album.
Can you believe that they could write shit like that back then?
Yeah.
And it would sell?
They just churned it out, man. They just churned it out.
What a world.
Maybe I gotta
record labels gave $0 to the artists and they just got away with it.
Maybe I gotta give Kanye a little more credit with songs like that exist. You know, Kanye never wrote Mashed Potatoes today. So that's
But if he did, God, it'd be great.
You can't really complain too much about if I just fucked this asshole, this model, and she just bleached her asshole, and I got bleach in my t-shirt, I'm going to feel like an asshole. Doesn't sound that bad in the face of mashed potatoes.
I can't believe. That's not off of Donda, is it?
No, that's off of Life of Pablo.
Okay.
It's a great song.
I got to listen to Donda.
Donda is...
I gotta check this shit out.
What is Donda? What is Donda?
Well, isn't that the question of the ages?
What
is
Donda? Donda kind of sucks, but there are glimpses of absolute brilliance in it. So it's, yeah. It's complicated, that Donda. It's very fucking long. It's an hour 45.
What is better, Kanye's Donda or Donkey's Donda that you heard?
Donkey's, obviously.
I mean, Donkey's is probably a little more ambitious.
Okay. Okay.
I would say Donkey is kind of pushing the art form forward more with his version, whereas Kanye is kind of just recycling what's worked in the past for him, which is fine, but, you know, like... What if like the Captain Beefheart of music, that Donkey, of modern day music?
What if Kanye partnered with Donkey to get something going?
I wouldn't put it past him. He's partnered with far worse. Marilyn Manson's on this record, guys. Marilyn Manson's on
Donda.
I heard
about that. What the
Doesn't
fuck?
He love Marilyn Manson?
Yeah.
He Kanye? Does. He Aren't they does. Like really close?
They are, which is very strange.
I don't think it's that strange. That seems right to me.
One is like... a Christian artist now. He refers to himself as a gospel artist. And one is like Satan incarnated, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point of Marilyn Manson?
They're both like really transgressive.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know if Marilyn Manson is like Kanye like censored all of the swear words off of this album because he's a Christian now. So he doesn't want
Wait,
like,
he still swore, so, but he swore put a bleep over
it?
Them?
No, like a featured artist swore on it, but he censored them.
Why didn't he just tell them don't swear in my song?
Well, I don't know. You can't really put Jay-Z in a box, man.
Oh, my God.
You got to let Jay-Z flow, you know?
Okay.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
So that's in there. Yeah. He also, like, tells, like, people working on the album, don't have any premarital sex. Like, you're not allowed to, like, watch porn or have premarital sex if you're working on my album.
Why aren't you allowed to watch porn?
Because it's ungodly.
Is it sinful?
It's sinful.
Oh. Yeah, where's that in the Bible?
He's a gospel artist now, is what you guys don't understand.
Tell me where in the Bible it says
you can't go on Pornhub.
Tell me where it says that.
He is a gospel artist. You have to understand this. He like tours with a gospel choir and does Sunday services with Joel Osteen, and he's like a guy now. That's his guy.
John Waters has to have a take on Kanye. I bet you he does somewhere.
I'm sure they've met.
They must have met somewhere. Somewhere long ago.
Maybe at like a Hodorovsky meetup or something. I don't know.
God, what a... Oh, my... I want...
I'm sure Marilyn Manson...
Hodorovsky, John sure Waters, Marilyn Manson Kanye was there West.
Too. Hodorovsky's dinner party.
No doubt Marilyn Manson was there, too.
That is amazing.
You know I'm probably not that far off.
To be a fly on the wall. To be a fly on
what
the
an
wall.
Acid trip. You don't even have to do drugs. Just enter the room.
Adam, you're going to one day like wake up and be like, I was so wrong about Kanye. And you're like, this is such like a you guy.
No, he's not.
He is. He's like so fucking out there. It's like you love John Waters. You're going to love Kanye one day, too. The guy doesn't give a shit about anything.
I'm not that anarchic.
You're not that. Kanye is too anarchic for you.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I find John Waters rewarding, maybe in a way that I don't find Kanye rewarding. So there is that, you know.
All right. So what were we talking about here?
Yeah, where were we? Yeah.
If I fuck this model and she just bleached her asshole,
huh?
And I get bleached my T-shirt. I'm a.
Is
feel
that
like
an
asshole.
Hairspray?
It could be.
I think so.
For all we know.
Yeah. So I mean, where are we in the movie at this point?
They're dancing. Lots of butts.
I mean, like, does really much happen between then? Like, basically, there's a lot of punishment for Tracy and Penny for being involved in this dancing group and for interacting with black people by, like, their parents, right? So, especially Penny's mother, who's very overbearing, literally, like, kidnaps her daughter. And John Waters pops into the scene playing a therapist who just, like, holds, like, a spinning, it's mesmerizing so cool. disc. And like a fucking taser, and he's like,
it's a cattle prod. He's zapping this. He's trying
He literally says to her, he's like, black boys, and then he shocks her just to like try to make her stop.
Right,
it's crazy.
He had the little hypnotizing wheel, and he goes, think about all the white boys you want to date.
Right. And you can tell he's having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
He's having such fun with this scene, which is
God, everything he does
over the top fucked up. And Tracy, likewise, you know, she's getting in trouble at school. They put her in the special ed class because her hair is too big and it's blocking kids from learning. I don't really know what that means, but
they put her in hairdo detention.
Hairdo detention.
Another classic Waters bit.
Hairdo,
you know?
Detention.
Hairdo detention. Because she's served hairdo detention twice, and the principal is like...
But there's another instance. Like, if you're sitting behind Tracy in that moment, I mean, I'd be pissed off. I'd be a little
annoyed.
Yeah,
except for the fact that later the camera is positioned behind her, and you can see the board fine. And it's clearly just this kid being an asshole.
Just move her seat, man.
No, not in the 50s. You move your seat, you're fucked, dude. You're getting the rulers. You have to kneel on pencils. No, man, I ain't doing that. I'm staying right where I am. Tell Tracy to cut her fucking hair.
Man, I would have been in big fucking trouble if I went to school in the 50s.
Yeah.
I would have no fingers. I'd have no knuckles. Yeah. Getting the ruler on the fingers?
Just
you
broken
get the
hands.
Ruler on the fingers?
No,
that's
my
how
dad,
you learn. We teach you with broken fingers.
My dad got stuff like that a couple of times, but he went to Catholic school, so that's a little different.
Nuns, man.
Yeah.
My parents went to Catholic school, too.
Mm-mm. No. But see, this is another reason why I relate to the villain of this movie. When their parents say, "We'll send you to Catholic school," I'm like, "Jesus, I feel so bad for you, sweetheart. Don't let your parents send you to Catholic school."
I mean, the parents are the real villain.
Yes,
at the end of the day.
I know. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. You can't get on board with the parents. I completely agree.
Yeah,
with that.
They're clearly the villains here.
They are utterly despicable.
Do we even describe this? The father is played by Sonny from Sonny and Cher, and the mom is played by Debbie Harry.
Another Debbie Harry performance. Yeah.
Debbie Harry just keeps coming
Where
back.
Where is she? This is incredible.
I know.
I couldn't believe she was in this movie.
She's everywhere.
I had no idea. Yeah.
She's wonderful, too. Yeah. She's really good.
I love her in everything.
Yeah, me too.
I love her in every movie I've seen her in.
Yeah.
She's actually a wonderful actress. Mm-hmm.
Was that a debate? Was that ever... Questions?
I didn't know she was an actress.
Wonderful actress.
I didn't know that she acted. I just didn't know that was a... Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
But those are the two fathers. And then on the other side, Tracy's parents are, of course, played by Divine. The mother, Edna, is played by Divine. And Jerry Stiller, Frank Costanza himself, plays the father. It's just a glorious pairing.
Favorite thing about the movie.
A match made in heaven these
days. It is so good.
It's so great to watch. Divine also has a second role, by the way.
She does, yeah.
Plays the evil, like, head of the TV studio or something.
He wants to keep the program segregated.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
He's just this ugly...
And he's also, like, the other villain, I guess you'd say.
Yes.
In terms of, like, the segregation arc, even all the people who are running the show who are keeping it segregated, they don't want to. They're being forced to by the studio. Mm-hmm. So...
Hot take. Yeah. I think Divine is better looking as a woman.
Yes, I would agree.
Is that even a hot take? Maybe that's just not a hot take.
I don't think that's a hot take.
I mean,
I think most people look better with makeup on.
Good point.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Even guys. There's plenty of guys on the news who wear makeup. They do. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The male character she plays is just a troll. Mm. It's just the ugliest human being you've ever seen.
It's a great performance.
With like the stringy hair. Oh god. And yeah, her performance in this is just awesome, by the way.
Such a shame. Divine, 2 weeks into the press tour for this movie, dropped dead of, I think, a heart attack.
Yeah, I watched actually the documentary I Am Divine where
you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I saw it a couple months ago and it feels like her entire life has been building up to the moment where Hairspray is a thing,
right?
Where she's recognized as a superstar, and not just a superstar, but someone who's beloved. Because prior, she's sort of this polarizing transvestite figure that inspires a lot of confidence in people. But at the same time, you have the other end of the spectrum where transvestites hate her for like giving like a bad name to trannies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So she's that wonderful representative thing that John Waters is always going for. It seems like it makes sense why he would consider her the muse, but yeah, there is a lot of like, I always just kind of wanted to be loved and, you know, no one ever appreciated me for who I was because look at me. He she says that frequently, like, just look at me. What am I supposed to do? But yeah, Hairspray comes out and it's like, OK, you've made it, kid, when you're like in your 50s or whatever, 40. I don't know how old Glenn Milstead was, but yeah, died 2 weeks later. So that was that.
Yeah. John Waters later said all this hard work you've done in your life and you got to enjoy it for 2 weeks.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
You know, it is kind of sad. But I like her in the movie. It does sort of bring like a pathos to it in a weird way. Like you feel their collaboration every time. I mean,
yes.
One of the marks of a John Waters movie is the fact that Divine is in it, you know? So like just her delivery and, like, you know, the way that she just sort of enunciates the lines, her weird brand of overacting. It's like, yeah. This is the only way to read a line of a John Waters script, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why I say that it is such a John Waters movie, but yeah, it is very sad. Yeah. Very sad.
So Penny is actually, like, literally, like, kept at home under watch. Tracy is sent to, like, reform school towards the end. And as they're making the big, I'm kind of skipping over, but there's really just antics.
Yes. Yeah.
Not really a lot of plot. It's just more antics and more, you know, integration, race relations.
There's a guy
dancing.
That owns a plus size boutique.
Yeah. Tracy becomes the model for the plus size boutique. And
yes.
It's part of her fame. And
love the dialogue in that scene too.
That's great. Well, I love that, like, while she's, like, modeling the dresses and stuff, like, at the end she takes a bite out of a donut. Like, that's part of it. Or, like, when the ladies are in there trying on dresses, he's like, have an eclair. Like, he's just giving out eclairs. It's so funny.
Can you throw in a free pair of pantyhose?
Yeah.
It's just so good.
I love Divine in this guy.
No, it's great.
She's really good.
But long story short, Tracy wins the vote for the auto show queen or whatever it's called. And because she's in reform school, she's unable to physically be there to be crowned. So by default, they give it to the villain girl.
Yes.
At that same time, a lot of the black dancers in the city who have grown to love Tracy basically kidnap the mayor and force him to release Tracy just in the nick of time. And she gets over there and takes her award.
But did you mention she is kind of locked up because somebody set off a bomb at, like, a protest event?
Yeah. So there was a protest for integration, right. And somebody there, it seems like somebody just, like, threw a cherry bomb into the crowd and it caused a massive riot. And right.
But
she
it was a
blamed.
White agitator though.
Yeah.
Yes. It was.
Yes.
So that's why. So they blamed her and then they locked her away with all the black people. And then, right.
Yeah. Right.
She's a regular joker, really, when you think about it.
Oh, God.
What a crap movie.
What, Joker?
What a just a shitbag
oh,
movie.
Wow. You really turned on Joker.
That's a shitbag movie.
There was, like, a whole 24 hours where I really liked that movie. And then the whole thing, and I think I've said this many, many times on the podcast, but Joker, it was just one of those movies that, like, the longer it sat with me, the more I hated it.
It's just fucking stupid.
I despise it.
It's just fucking stupid. It's like the end of that movie is just stupid. I watched that scene that it gets memed to death with him shooting De Niro. It's like, God, it's so dumb.
Yeah. I like to remind our listeners that we also like The Last Jedi. So just let that sit with you.
I love The Last Jedi.
It's the best.
And now our listeners are like, okay.
The Last Jedi slapped.
If you think that Joker is in the same stratosphere as Last Jedi,
I kind of
Here's what I need to say. From many people I've talked to about Last Jedi, here's what I can say. Yes, we agree with you that the whole casino planet thing was stupid.
Sucks. It's 10 minutes of the movie.
We can agree with that. So, stop using that as your justification for the movie being bad. There was one fucking little mini arc and it sucked and nobody cares.
Yes.
I don't think the movie's as bad as people say, but
the movie's awesome.
I have fallen from where you guys are greatly. I will say that. I like the movie, but
it's clearly the best of the trilogy.
It's not even close.
No, yeah, that's true.
It's not even fucking close. I mean, those other two movies are kind of horseshit, though. The first one's not bad, but the first one's
mediocre.
Yeah, the third one is a piece
horrendous,
of, like, flaming dog shit.
I am
every single
around?
Episode of the Bad
no.
Batch.
Tell me you're coming.
Not to Rise of Skywalker, but I hate to be that guy. I am growing. It is growing in estimation for me. The Solo camp. I'm like, I don't know, guys. It could be the best that Disney put out in the last couple of years.
Solo?
Solo is not bad.
It's okay.
Solo is underrated.
Underrated, yes.
It's fun.
It is one of the worst lit movies I've ever seen in my life.
Me too.
The lighting is awful, so that knocks it down like a full star. I can't see what's happening.
Yes. But
let me just put this out there, though. Yeah. Every single episode of The Bad Batch Dave Filoni's animated Star Wars is better than all five of those movies.
Really?
Every single episode. Yeah, and it's
Filoni
not even that good.
Take over the whole thing.
Filoni's the guy, though.
Give him free reign. Just let him do Star Wars.
I am curious, because as much as I love episode 5 of Mandalorian season 2, or episode 6, whichever it is.
Which one is that?
That's the one with Ahsoka Tana.
Best episode of the series.
Yeah.
But it is just a remake of Yojimbo. Like,
right.
2AT.
That's okay.
It's just like a shot-for-shot remake of Yojimbo.
Totally.
That's okay.
But yeah,
remake,
it's like, okay.
Remake every movie in the Star Wars universe. I don't care.
Star Wars has already been doing that since the dawn of time, so it's
right.
Okay. So
yeah. What's the problem here? Yeah.
Ripping off my only problem with The Mandalorian.
There are worse movies to rip off.
I agree. But like, I don't know. I'd like to see a more refreshing Dave Filoni. I don't know.
My only problem with Mandalorian was
you're overthinking it.
Oh, coming from you.
I don't like how important the story got suddenly in the last episode. I liked it when the story was small and unimportant.
Yeah.
Without spoiling anything, obviously. If you haven't watched it by now, go fuck yourself.
Come on.
Did you see that? I'm sorry. I don't know why I thought of this, but did you see the Shang-Chi movie?
I didn't end up because my guy canceled. So I was like,
I've heard very positive things, right?
Me too.
I'm a little weirded out by it. I might go see it.
I'm a little disturbed by all the positive reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot I have a home phone in here now.
What the hell
phone?
Is that?
Are you getting a call?
I am.
What?
Is that a house phone?
Less professional than me eating on the pod. What is this?
Someone is calling your house?
Correct.
In 2021?
Yes.
I'm going to enjoy the rest of my Reese's cup now. Okay.
Just put that thing in there last week.
Jesus Christ.
That's bad, dude.
Oh, my God.
It's bad. You don't know when that's going
to
go off.
I may need to get rid of it.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't want people getting a hold of me all the time.
This isn't a bit, guys. Them. We're not like, oh, we have a special guest on the phone. No. This fucking phone's just ringing in the background. Unprofessional.
Yeah, that's tough. I haven't had a house phone in like 7 years. It's back, though.
That's terrible.
Landlines are making a comeback, guys.
Oh, my God, no. I can't imagine having a landline.
Landlines and vinyl?
Well, it's like Comcast makes you pay for the bundle. You can't just pay for 2 out of 3.
That's true.
You know? They're just giving you a free landline. It's like, all right, fine. We guess we'll use
just
it.
Just don't have cable. What do you need to watch that you can't get on the internet?
NFL Red Zone, bro. Come on.
There's no NFL that you can watch on the internet anywhere?
No. What? Until Amazon fucking outbids DirecTV for the Sunday ticket.
Oh.
That was the story the other day. They're now the
front runner. Doesn't YouTube do sports? If you pay for like YouTube or whatever?
No, you don't get the Red Zone, man. You need that NFL Red Zone and you need Yes Network. Because I got to watch my Yankees.
Oh, my God.
Even though I certainly don't want to watch the Yankees. I have to. I'm obligated these days.
Ugh.
Yeah, first day of football, by the way. That's what we're doing this so early.
Once they get sports on the internet.
Yeah, so Amazon is now the front runner. They got to pay like $2.5 billion, and then they'll have every out-of-market game.
All right, great.
So
okay,
that's what I'm looking forward to.
And then once we can get rid of cable. Yeah. Get rid of phones. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. Anything else that we had?
Yeah, I mean, that's the movie, right?
I think that's the movie.
Really delightful, actually,
it's
though.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a good time. It's cute.
It's also kind of cacophonous.
There's an act of domestic terrorism at the end. The mom, her plan is if her daughter doesn't win, she throws a bomb that she's hiding in her giant wig onto the stage. I'm not sure what you're accomplishing by that. Doing that
murder. I think murder.
Kill people. Yeah.
I think literally the dad's building a bomb and he's like, we're going to go down in the history books for this one. It's like explicitly domestic terrorism. Like, I don't know what else it could be.
All I could think about was like, how are they going to do this in the musical? This upcoming musical that they're doing.
That was the moment when the bomb accidentally goes off and she gets like the ash on her face, like Elmer Fudd firing a gun the wrong way.
Yep.
Like I was hoping in that moment, or I kind of wish that we got the full Jod Waters experience. Like, let's really just like show all the violence here.
Well, when the hair was flying in the air, I was kind of hoping there was a head attached to it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that would have been insane.
That would have been the way to do it.
We end with Tracy putting on a roach dress too.
Yeah. She put, they call her a roach to like make fun of her because calling her fat didn't work anymore.
Well, so here's what I learned in the research afterwards. There was a scene that was cut out of the movie that included roaches pouring out of Tracy's hair. There was a moment where like there were roaches hiding in that giant bundle and then everybody made fun of her for the fact.
See, that would have been That would have been good to include too, because like the whole movie is about like floofy hair and like how it's like not real.
I kind of wish they had included that too.
Yeah,
right. So you kind of lose out on the context of, oh, that's why they keep making fun of her for roaches, and that's why at the end of the movie she's wearing a dress with roaches on it.
Yeah,
as like sort of like this transgressive.
Well, and the last dance that the villain girl does is called the Roach as well.
Yes, right.
Meant to be making fun of her.
So it kind of comes out of nowhere, and you're like, where did this roach motif come from? Yeah. But that's
Yeah, but it's cool how she embraces it at the end again, like she does everything, every single piece of mud thrown at her, in very John Waters fashion, maybe in very divine fashion in a way, just accepts it and embraces it, and people love her more for it.
Yeah,
and
there is that.
It's a kind of, you know, it's a nice message, right?
I do give her that. I do like that idea. It's like, just roll with it, guys. It doesn't matter. You be you. So there is that I like about her.
And it's done well. It's not like, you know, usually this type of message I find is just like so overbearing and just like, ugh, all right. Yeah, I get it.
Be yourself.
It's that John Waters voice, though. It's, I don't know.
It's because it's honest. That's what makes it better than those movies. This movie is so in your face honest, but just the mood is just so constantly uplifting that it doesn't drag you down.
I agree.
Yeah. I guess I have one on Ricky Lake, the actress who plays Tracy in this. Mm-hmm. I was just doing some research on her. Literally every photo, she just looks so happy all the time. She's just such like a happy, uplifting person. Mm-hmm. But apparently in real life, she had hair loss, major hair loss.
Yes.
And she shaved her head bald. And I think that was like a big news story because obviously she played the girl from Hairspray. So
it's like, okay. How, like, oh my God, the universe is a strange place, isn't it?
Yeah, that
girl from Hairspray
loses
all of her hair.
I don't think she still does her talk show. She had a very popular talk show in the early 2000s, like when, you know, Rosie O'Donnell had a big one. I mean, there were just a lot of, you know, Ellen and Oprah obviously were taken off, but that was a big thing to do in the early 2000s. If you were a woman, you would get a daytime talk show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she does it anymore.
I don't think so. I think she's a little more semi-retired.
The last credit I'm seeing is she was on The Masked Singer.
So, speaking of hair loss, did you guys see Steve recently?
Oh, why are we talking? Everybody's talking about this.
It's crazy.
It's so fucking trite, dude. I don't like. I actually thought about making a video about this, and I'm like, I can't, because Blue's Clues was my first love.
What do you hate about it? What's the problem?
I just think everybody's fucking lying when they say they're crying.
I didn't cry.
Stop. Right.
Yeah, no, you're right. People are over the top. They're like putting him up there with like Steve Irwin and shit, like the Trinity of Wholesome or whatever.
Steve Irwin's dead.
No, but you know how like everybody talks about like him being super wholesome and everything?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Steve, you've been silent for 25 years and you're coming back being like, I'm your dad. I still love you. It's like, where the fuck were you?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
You ran away, motherfucker.
There you go.
You left me.
You left.
You don't get to come
you
back
left
and
us.
Say, hey, kid, you look great.
You don't get to skip the hard part and be like, how about those student loans?
You left me with Joe and that Asian guy. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's
what's that
the
guy's
fucking
name? I don't know that guy's name.
Josh. Oh, my little cousin loves Josh.
Fuck Josh. No, I don't know anything about Josh.
I'm sure Josh is a delightful man.
I'm sure he's fine.
I'm just thinking, the way we change and like what Steve would be thinking about, like we start off our childhood and you know we're watching TV for the first time and we get Blue's Clues, the most delightful children's show ever created.
I think the best.
Cut 20 years later, Viper's getting his eyes gouged in by the mountain and his head blows up. And that's where we're at.
That's a reference.
Talking about my generation. Yep.
So I shared with you both, I think, a meme I saw of it. Steve with the red curtains behind him from Twin Peaks. He's like, I'll see you in 25 years.
God, that was so funny. I was like, Nick, you son of a bitch.
That was really funny because it's the 25th anniversary. That's why they brought Steve back.
Nick, you ignorant slut.
Yeah, there's a lot of Blue's Clues content out there on the internet if you're looking for it. Like,
you know what, though? I think it was kind of cheeky of Nick Jr. to have Steve come back and not talk to the kids, but talk to us. Talk to our generation.
Yeah, I just don't know how you're like, look at all you've accomplished. You're $40,000 in debt. It's like, why are you reminding me about my student loans? It was so weird. It's out of nowhere. It's like you have kids and a family and a job and mountains of debt that you'll never be able to pay off. You would have been able to pay it off if you went to college in my time.
I like that he, but I like that he talked to us the same way he did then, where he's like, can we talk for a second? Great.
Great.
It's like, okay. I'm not talking back to you. I know this is a video, Steve.
Listen, I've got a lot of history with Steve. I love Steve. I told my aunt when I was a child that I wanted her to marry Steve because she was single forever. And I'm like, you need to get married. So, like, I got the perfect guy for you, and his name is Steve. I was, like, setting my aunt up with the guy on TV.
But how's it been going for you to set people up in relationships now?
It's gone about as well since then. I'm about as good as now as the day I was then. Yeah, I wanted to set my aunt up with Steve. I fucking love Steve. Watch Blue's Clues every day. Watch Blue's Clues, like, way too late in life.
No, me too.
Like, I watched it until, like, the third grade.
When Steve left, we were in third or fourth grade. When Steve left.
Yeah.
I made
my
mom.
I don't know about that. I think it was because 2003 is when he left. I looked
that's
that
third
today.
Grade.
You were watching Blue's Clues in third grade? Wow.
We were in first grade in 2001.
I don't know when.
That's right. September 11th. We weren't. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. So, that was third grade.
I kept watching. Yeah.
Too old to be watching Blue's Clues. I made my mom get the VHR or the VHS and, like, record the episode that
me
Steve
too. Oh, and, my God. Me too. I did the same thing.
And she was pissed at me because she did it. And then afterwards, she's like, you made me do this for Blue's Clues. This is what you wanted
I
to
know,
watch.
My mom did
she's like, you're too old for this shit. And I'm like,
I had the same fucking experience.
Yes.
Word for word, I had the same conversation.
That's exactly what happened.
I have them actually right here. I've been converting old VHS tapes. I've got.
You have it?
No, I don't have Blue's Clues on there, but I have like the old recordable VHS tapes.
Okay.
I had so many of them. And I had in my room, was the only room with a VHS player. And this is when I lived in Newington back in the day. So I would tell my mom, listen, you can set the timer on it, but you have to do it. But after I leave, make sure the TV is on, you put the tape in. And every day I would have a record because I had to see what was going on with Josh. No, not Josh. Steve and
Joe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I had a lot of VHS tapes. I had all the notebooks.
I've since
thrown out because my little cousin loves Blue's Clues now. And I tried like showing her like old Steve episodes on YouTube. She was not having it. She's like, who is this guy?
Ooh.
Who is this fucking creep?
Ooh.
I'm a Josh girl.
I'm like that.
So like I wish I still had those notebooks I would have given her. I collected every single one. It was like different colors and different designs based on different episodes. And yeah,
that's so funny that we had the same exact.
It's the same memory. That's crazy. I that's the same conversation I had with my mom.
Oh my God.
But anyway, yeah. Steve's back. I didn't cry. Stop lying and saying
nobody cried. I was just watching it and I was like, this is weird.
It's
okay.
Good viral content. Okay.
Yeah.
Just enough.
Cheeky.
Enough making more of it than it actually is. Yeah. Quick game. Let's go.
Sure. Let's do it.
How many Drew Careys? All right. I think Ricky Lake is as good a place as any to go, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. Ricky Lake, host of the Ricky Lake Show.
I do not think she's worth as much as Drew Carey. You think she's worth as much
nah,
as
probably
Drew
not.
Carey?
But they both had like, you know, popular daytime TV shows.
I don't have a lot of context for how popular the Ricky Lake Show was, though. So
let's see how long it ran.
Because that would help me out a lot here.
Let's see how long that thing ran. The Ricky Lake. Yeah, I think they brought it back, as a matter of fact.
They did?
Recently. The series marked her return to television after leaving the genre in 2004. Oh, this was the one that they brought back in 2012, 2013. The reboot only lasted for two seasons. The original Ricky Lake Show was a tabloid talk show, started in 1993, ended in 2004. So lasted for quite some time, 11 seasons.
Damn. Okay.
11 seasons in the 90s in the peak of talk shows.
The peak of talk shows.
Peak of talk shows.
Talk shows have a lot more money behind them than you think, right? I mean,
daytime TV. Judge Judy is the highest paid person in television.
Oh,
highest paid person.
Oh, man. Mm. This is tough.
So,
this is tough.
Judge
Judy. I'll go half.
I was going to go half.
It might be a little high.
Okay.
Honestly, I think it might be a little high, but I'll go half.
So you're going to go $90 million.
$90 million.
Okay. Shit.
I honestly think that's high, Adam.
Yeah, I think it might be a little high. I'm going to go $70 million.
Okay.
Feels right. $70 million.
So a little over a third.
Or is
Yeah, fuck it. 91.
Oh, you bitch. I hope it's 85.
You bastard.
Just to spite you bitches.
All right.
It's going to be low. It's going to be low.
Probably should have went the other way, right?
It's going to be like 30.
Oh, Ricky Lake has not saved up her money quite well at all. Yeah. No. $16 million for Ricky Lake.
Wow.
Adam, you just won this week's edition of... How many Drew Carey?
See, I thought I was in the high, high end.
You know what my original number was going to be?
What?
$10 million.
Yeah, there you go.
You should have.
They talked you out of it.
Yeah.
You still won.
Yeah, but I never like those wins. I you know, they don't
win's
feel...
Win's a win, man.
It's like, I didn't play well, the others played poorly.
It's fine. Fair. Win's a win, man.
You didn't play... We played basically the same. That's the problem.
all right, I got to get going. This was fun. Next week, I think it's just going to be Adam and I. Nick, safe travels.
Thanks.
Enjoy your special day. I'll be under the knife that morning, so I won't be able to congratulate you in real time, but just know I'll be congratulating you from...
He's trying to dial my number. God knows what numbers he's pressing.
Exactly. I won't be able to see. So.
Oh, you'll be literally under the knife.
I'm getting LASIK surgery that day. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to send
him... By the way, I heard he got a really mean discount. He haggled for his LASIK.
Yeah, I heard about this too. Yeah, I did. I heard a few things. I heard he haggled for his LASIK, and I heard that he mispronounced Reese's Pieces. Mm. So there's that. And
Nico, I did get an angry pieces? YouTube comment.
Yeah, I saw that because I saw the YouTube video. I looked at the comments. I was like, okay, interesting. You did pronounce it incorrectly, but like...
That's how I've always pronounced it.
Why do you pronounce it that way?
I just assumed that was what you said. Reese's Pieces.
Do you need a piece of cake?
I just thought it was a stylistic choice. I don't know. That's how John Waters would pronounce it.
There's an apostrophe S. Reese's. Like Reese Witherspoon.
Reese's Pieces.
I don't know where Reese's ever came from.
Oh! It's not Reese's.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
I have it right here.
It makes no sense.
I have it right here.
Reese's Pieces.
You see the apostrophe S?
Yeah.
It's Reese's.
I thought it was Reese's. My family's always pronounced it Reese's.
They're wrong.
They're wrong. Pieces.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I want to go on the record and just say that if Nico goes blind, I'm not going to feel a single ounce of guilt. I'm going to laugh at you and make fun of you.
Have you ever played Dead Space, Nick? I need to send him the eye surgery video.
Oh, that's a great one.
No, I got the lowdown last night from two people that have gotten LASIK in the past.
Okay.
And I am definitely reconsidering.
I am sure it will be fine.
Definitely reconsidering my choice.
I don't know if LASIK is really a snap decision that you should make like you did. But, you know, go for it. Live your life.
This dude last night tells me, he goes, it's like getting abducted by an alien.
Oh, I hate that.
It's just you see a bright light the whole time.
Oh,
you just see a bright glowing light.
That's freaky. And he's talking to you over here, and you're right here. He's like, no, dude, I'm here. You can't see
me. He's like, yeah, everything looked yellow for like the first 24 hours. I'm like, shut up.
Everything looked yellow.
Stop it.
All your cones and rods are all over the place. What are you doing, man?
I don't know. I don't know.
Going in for my...
But that being said, he's like, I highly recommend. It's like getting abducted by it. And then like, yeah, then they told me the specifics of what they do to the eye, and they like... They peel back the top layer of the eye, and then they shave down some of the cornea, and then they replace it. Ugh.
Hearing the phrase shaving the eye, because I knew about this, and I'm just like, why would anybody do that? Just hearing that, it's like, no. That's,
so I can get the gift of sight.
God damn it.
And I got a good discount.
You can see. You have your eyeglasses, dude. You're fine.
Yeah, but also the other thing is I've been just a guy with glasses for a while. You've never known me without them.
I've seen pictures of you without them.
I got my glasses in junior year of high school.
Okay.
So I was never like a kid with glasses, but I'm definitely an adult with glasses, you know?
Yeah.
I've been known as the guy with glasses, so it's going to be kind of weird to
have to change my identity like that. I may have to just like wear glasses with plastic in it for like.
You're gonna have to alter the Nico Show artwork.
Ooh,
yeah, I'm gonna have to alter a lot of things.
It's just a silhouette of get your glasses on your face. Yeah.
Get used to this, man.
I do like it with glasses, though.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe I'll back out.
You're quite fetching with those glasses on, Nico.
Can you get your money back?
Oh god,
I hope not. I hope I can get it back. I hope they don't.
If you can't, you can't back out. You got to just go for it.
Yeah, it's true.
Now after that deal, like, are you kidding me?
After that deal, never pass up a good deal. Yeah,
never. Love you. Go Jets. Until next time, you've all been so very, very naughty.
Naughty.